Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
This morning, I have a message which you will never guess the title of. Not that you probably, unless you're prophetic, could ever guess what I'm going to preach. And sometimes I can't either. But this morning, the message title is Breathe. See, you never would have got that, would you? Breathe. Which we know you are currently doing. So just hold that thought, and by the end of the message, you'll understand why it's called Breathe. 2013, we've had a great start to the year. The Lord has given us this word over the year that we're not to have any fear. Do not be afraid, little flock. For it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. They're his words, not mine. But I've paraphrased that with no fear this year. There's to be no fear this year. And God wants us to apply what his kingdom means, what his kingdom is this year, and to see a real advance of the kingdom, both personally in our families. But I'm absolutely believing that this year is going to be a significant year for us as a church of advance of the kingdom. And I believe that God is preparing us for that. We are in the last days. In Joel and in the book of Acts chapter 2, the last days are the days when the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. And biblically speaking, prophetically speaking, we are going to come into more harvest and more fruit. All over the world, there is going to be a great harvest of souls. That is what the end times or the latter days, and we are in the latter days or in the last days because we're in the days of the Holy Spirit. But I actually believe we're in the last days of the last days. Because it's been 2,000 years of the outpouring of the Spirit. And so I believe for immense outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the world. And we're going to have so much to do because so many people are going to get saved. We're going to be busy. And you're saying, well, I'm busy now. But the Holy Spirit will give us grace to do everything that he wants us to do. And this message is all to facilitate where we're going to go this year with the advance of the kingdom. And to be honest, this message is almost like, well, why is the Lord bringing this message when we're all about advance? Because for me, it was a little bit of a struggle. And Pastor Andrea had a confirming word from the Lord that I was to obey the Lord and preach this message. Because I would always, being a pioneer, would want to take new ground and get us moving out. But the Lord wants me to preach this so that we can actually be more fruitful in what's ahead. So turn with me in this Breathe message to Exodus chapter 16. And we thank you for your word, Father. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit to help us to not just listen to the word with our heads, but to receive your word in our hearts. And to accept it as not a word from man, but a word from God. And Lord, we want to welcome your word into our lives and honor your word above all words and all plans and purposes. So we thank you today, Lord, for a fresh revelation of the word of the Lord. Amen. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 16, we read and we were talking a little bit about this last week, how the Lord provided for his people going through the wilderness. They'd come out of Egypt and they were going through the wilderness, and God's plan was that they would quickly enter the promised land. And in the wilderness, there was no kind of normal shops. There wasn't like a Costa coffee. There wasn't anywhere you could go for Asda shopping or Sainsbury's. You kind of just had to say, Lord, where is the food coming from? Millions of people, no supermarket. That's the real scene. It kind of makes it real, doesn't it, to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the Lord said, I'm going to provide for you, my people. And we were talking about this last week, how Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And how this is really how God is showing us he wants to be our source, our provider. And in verse 16, this is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. So if you have three people in your tent, take three omers. If you that's a measurement of this flaky stuff, white stuff, which was the Lord called bread, and the children of Israel called what is it? Because that's what manna means. What is it? I love that. Looking out the tent, what is it? Is on the ground. What is it? And anyway, they had to go out and gather the what is it. And daily, the provision would come. Every day they would go out, which is a sign of our going out to work. And every day God would provide food, daily bread. But then on, if you go down to verse 17, it says the Israelites did as they were told, which is also a miracle. Some gathered much, some a little, and when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much didn't have too much. He who gathered too little didn't have too little. Each one gathered as much as they needed. Now, in verse 22, it says, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. Now, I understand what the Lord's saying. There are 7 days in a week. On the sixth day, gather twice as much. Two omers for each person. So if you had three people in your tent, you had to get six omers on the sixth day. If you had eight people, it's eight times two, which equals? You're with me now. Okay. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord's commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake. And boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until the morning. So they saved it until the morning as Moses had commanded. And it didn't stink and get maggots. They couldn't get double on the first, second, third, fourth, fifth days. But on the sixth they could get twice as much. If they got too much on the first to the fifth day, it stank and rotted. But on the sixth day, they got twice as much, and in the morning, it didn't stink, and it wasn't rotted. I think there's a whole message in there, but it's not for today. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather on it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather. So not everybody was as obedient as you are in Kingdom Faith Southwest. They went out to gather it, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and keep my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. And everyone is to stay where he is. On the seventh day, no one's to go out. And so the people rested on the seventh day. Sabbath. The Lord spoke to his people to have a Sabbath day. Now the word Sabbath means rest or to cease or to stop. They were to work for how many days? 6 days. Interesting that. They were to work for six, and they were to rest for one. Just as you're made to eat daily, you are also designed to rest weekly. You were made to rest one day a week from work. Right. Sabbath used to be, a few years ago, zero fun, where everybody had to do nothing, not enjoy life, and just spend all waking hours in Bible studies and prayer meetings and church. Just like in the days of Jesus, there are always people who overdo things and bring law into life. Jesus came to give us an abundance of life. And actually, I believe, truly speaking, in God's mind, the Sabbath is made to bless us and enable abundant life. Amen. So the motive behind God saying, his command, you must rest one day, is that we are to have a day where we don't work. So I think it's actually love is behind the command. People overdid religion in Jesus' day. Sometimes when the disciples were walking with Jesus through the cornfields, I love to think about this. They're walking, the scripture says in Mark, they're walking through the cornfields. I love to do that in the summer, although the farmer won't like it as much. And they were picking the corn, the ears of the corn, and it was like the popcorn of the day. That was their snack. Some of you aren't very happy today. That was funny. So they're walking through the cornfields, picking corn and popcorn. And the legalistic people said, oh, you're disciples, it's a law, you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And there were always people who overdid what the command meant. And we're just going to unpack a little bit what it means to have a Sabbath. Really, God's vision is that we are going to have a day of relationship with God. Church is about connecting with God, just as we have done. I feel great because I connected with the Lord in the worship. And we are to come together as God's people and worship Him together and connect and be in relationship with Him. And so the Sabbath rest is about relationship. And you can't take God out when you talk about relationships. He's your number one relationship. So it's like you're not having a rest from God on your rest day. Hello? So you're having a time as God's family, but the Sabbath is also designed to have time and rest from normal work with your family. There's nothing better than having a meal that doesn't create work. We'll talk about that in a minute. Where you can gather around and have a lazy lunch. Chill in the afternoon or go see friends. Take the kids out and the dog for a walk. Sabbath is supposed to be for relationship with God, each other, and enjoyment. Not zero fun. Okay, so we get the right thinking just in case there's that old religious way of thinking in any of us. But some of us might think, well, I can't do that because I work on a... Normally, a Sabbath is a Sunday for most people. Because normal working week is Monday to Friday. Saturday's normally DIY, housework. How many of you know housework has got work attached to it? Has anybody ever had the revelation that housework is work? If you do any, you will know it's W-O-R-K. So the housewife does the housework, therefore has a rest. On the Sabbath. They didn't even bake or boil on the Sabbath. I like that. They had leftovers. That's a good plan, leftovers. Not chaotic, I've got a good thing, please. I've got to get something, I've got people coming. I don't call that rest. I think the planning has got to come in so that on the Sabbath we can, R-E-S-T, rest. Because 6 days we, W-O-R-K, work. So normally in the pattern, Saturdays is partly DIY around the house, getting stuff together, getting life in order. And all the way through our life, we're seeking first the kingdom. So whatever else is involved during the week with prayer, because that's God's will, that we meet together, that we hear His word daily. They met together in one another's homes. It's all part of kingdom mindset, church life. But the Sabbath is to be holy, different, set apart. Yep. Now, you might be like me and work sometimes on a Sabbath. And there are some people that choose to work on a Sabbath, which I don't believe is right, which is a Sunday. I think sometimes we can be in control and say, actually, I can't work. But some of us can't be. I can't be. I'm working. Every Sunday I work. Hello? A doctor sometimes has to work on a Sabbath. I mean, how many of you know that babies don't tell you that they're not coming on the Sabbath? And so, you know, you've got a whole hospital down the road that has a working, it's requiring work. But as far as it's possible, you and I, and then particularly for me, I need to plan a Sabbath on a Friday. Friday's my Sabbath. Because I need to rest. Hello? Because the vision isn't burnout. Worn out. Can't cope. It's having strength for all God has for us during the week. Working life, family life, church life, whatever you've got to do. But on the seventh day, a rest from work. Now, it's a principle. It's not law. You might sit there and say, well, this is the Old Testament. But Jesus upheld the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue to worship on a Sabbath day. Their Sabbath was a Saturday. But they would worship together. They met together as a community of God's people. And so it's something that needs to be, it's almost like it's not even up for grabs when we worship together. It's not even a choice. I know many of you have set that in place in your life, but some of you maybe haven't. That Sundays is for worship, relationship with God together, family and rest. But for some of us, we have to have another day when we actually have a rest day. Now, I'm going to look at some scriptures here in Exodus chapter 20. And just turn there. And make a few points about Sabbath rest. How many of you can read as well? It doesn't mean you rest all week as well. Okay, so that's another message. Work is from the Lord. Rest is also from the Lord. And we are to rest weekly. Say weekly. For a whole day. Wow, imagine that. A whole day. Now here we have what we call the Ten Commandments. And this is what God spoke about. This is world famous even today. The Ten Commandments, people know that God gave commandments. Verse 3 says, you shall have no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Verse 7, you won't misuse the name of the Lord. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. Verse 12, honor your father and mother. 13, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, give false testimony. You shall not covet. And you might be saying, praise the Lord, Jesus delivered us from the law. That we're not under the law, which is the commandments. We're under grace. What is grace? God giving everything to those who don't earn it. So we can never be perfect enough by keeping these commandments in our own power. But let me tell you, the reason God gave us a new life, made us righteous, and put his spirit in us is that we would have the grace to do even better than the Ten Commandments. So that we don't even have to look at a woman to lust, or a man to lust after them. Rather than not commit the action, we're not even to commit the thought. And the Holy Spirit lives in us to enable us to be sanctified and be made holy. And so there's grace to obey. If I was to say to you, as a Christian, do you think it's right to keep the command not to steal? Hello? Do you think you shouldn't have any idols? Anything before God? Do you think it's still right to not misuse the name of the Lord? Is it right to honor your father and mother? There's a good promise with that, that you'll live a long life. Is it right not to commit adultery? to lie? So are you legalistic saying yes? So the fourth commandment, it's like almost what we look at is, it says here, let's just read verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not work, not do any work, neither you nor your son, your daughter, your kids. School time, get it done the day before. Hello. Teach it in your homes. Hello. Any parents? Kids, get your work done. Tomorrow's a work-free day. Ooh. Let's train the next generation as well, shall we? Those of you who've got new kids, babies, and the next generation after that. A whole day, kids, when you're not thinking about exams. Ooh, imagine the stress that would come off some of our kids. A whole day where they're not having to do schoolwork. Very important, I believe, this is God. And what it says here, you shan't work, your son or your daughter, your manservant or maidservant, those you employ, your animals. I mean, sometimes there's a, if you're a farmer, you have to milk the cows. Otherwise, they will suffer. There is a kind of minimal need in some works to do the minimum, to keep things going. Hello? But not to spend a whole day working. To have this mindset, actually. Nor the alien within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I love this. The Lord is actually showing us by example. He said, I created by speaking. I created the heavens and the earth. I did all the work in 6 days. But on the seventh I rested, and I've blessed the day of rest. That's a good statement again. I have blessed the day of rest. There's a blessing on our rest when we take it. God will bless your life with a Sabbath day, a Sabbath rest. I believe our marriages will improve. We will have the best marriages when we rest for a day. Our relationships as single people will be blessed. Because singles can often, because there's no available people around them, oh, I may as well book a job and go to work. And overwork. Blessed by God to take a day off. Your boss won't tell you that, because Jesus, our King, is good. And everything he does is good. The Sabbath is supposed to do you good. He wants to bless you on the Sabbath day. Okay. Most of us look at that and say, well, I'll keep all the others, but I can't see. Let's just not bother with the Sabbath. It doesn't seem that important. We'll keep the nine. But the one command is like, nah, surely, Lord, you didn't mean it. Because we live in a society which is overdriven, overworked. People access emails on their day off. That is work. They have their phone. They maybe go out for a nice romantic meal with their wife, and they've got their phone on the restaurant table. They've turned it off, but it's still going to vibrate. So long as they know they're getting something through. Because we couldn't possibly live without knowing whether somebody could contact us, could we? And so we sit there going, check the phone, have I got any texts? Sorry, darling, what was that? Talk about not building relationally. Actually, Miles is really good at that. He takes the phone out, don't you? When there's time for relationships and family, remove the obstacles. Have a great marriage by talking. Have great friendships. by speaking and talking over a meal or something. But we're so hooked up with work. Some people even plan business deals on the Sabbath. And God is saying, actually, it's going to stink and it's not going to work for you. Life isn't going to work if you don't do life God's way. And we are God's people, aren't we? We're praying your kingdom come. And how about his reign in our time? Daily bread and weekly rest. Daily bread and weekly rest. We need to take it seriously for our health. Some people are so worked out, so overworked. They've got 3 jobs, 5 jobs. That's probably why some people aren't here today, because they're working overtime, overdoing. And basically, it takes the strength out. It takes, some people get so dumb emotionally, so dull, sorry, not dumb, dulled emotionally. So that actually they can't feel anymore, because tiredness has immense effect on your emotions, on your mental ability. It actually robs your body of health. And so God is really wanting us to be healthy, our relationships to be the best. He wants you strong. We know that the kingdom of heaven advances and forceful men advance it. And we also can then assume that the kingdom of heaven does not advance through tired men. No energy, low ebb, never seem to recover. Can I have the picture? Sometimes on Monday morning, which is the beginning of our week, we look like that horse. We're coming back into work after the weekend and we're going, oh my goodness me, how am I going to make this week? I'm so tired. I'm worn out. We should be approaching Monday morning like this guy. Ready for action. Look, vision. I've got vision for the week. I'm strong. Look at those muscles on that horse. Ready to take responsibility, because work is responsibility. Things need to be put on your back to carry. Hello. God has called you to bear some loads. Some right loads. But imagine being like that on the Monday morning. Whoa. Okay, boss, what's this week then? Where are we going? Imagine work, coming to work, go to the office like, hoopah. Everybody's been out on the drink all weekend. And that's actually going to destroy everything about your life. They've been partying or working, or things have been wrong order in their lives. It's absolutely from the devil. Because the devil has come to steal, kill and destroy, and often through sin. They arrive in on Monday morning like the previous, that horse that's got his head down, exhausted, right? Let's just see if I can get away with as little work as possible. My head hurts, my eyes hurt, my breath stinks. I just need help. Would anybody help me? And God says, Sabbath rest. So picture what you're like when you start your week. It's a good question, isn't it? And it's a command. The Lord has commanded us to take a Sabbath, a rest day, a day where we worship him, a day where we live together in family life, strengthen, going out with our kids. Those of you who've got kids, have fun. In the afternoons, have friends round if you're single and you just need company. Get people around you, but make sure you prepared it the day before, or sling a pizza in the oven. Do not make work. And husbands and wives need to really understand that there needs to be a job share and a vigilance on one another's lives. And friends as well, that if you're doing too much, pull out. Because you need a day doing nothing that's associated with work. Yes, your work. In Exodus 31, the second point is, first of all, it's a command. Exodus 31, it's a witness. Exodus 31 is a witness. Verse 16 of chapter 31, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come, as a lasting sign, eternal, a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work. Love that. He abstained from work, and he rested. The pattern of this world is, whenever you are demanded or called upon, you should work. Now, that can happen very much if you're involved with people, like I am. My life can be, never ever have a moment off. I can work day and night. I wake up and pray. Our ministry primarily is the word and prayer. The Lord in Acts 6 set apart ministers to minister through prayer and the word. That is our job. It's our primary job, and to pray for you, to intercede for you, and to give you good food. Are you getting good food? There's food, that there may be food in the house. Bread to eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Some of you might not consider it work, but I'm telling you, it's work. But sometimes we can't get a day off. I mean, we went walking on Friday into Wellington, Sandra and I, and through the snow, put our boots on, went through the snow, loved it. Bit cold, so we stopped at the first coffee shop because it's my rest day. Have a nice coffee, went out, then went to buy Hunger a present. Hunger is a friend of ours as a church. We love her very much. She's living in Mongolia. So we went to the animal shop, in Wellington, and we bought a lovely hat with ears. You know those trendy, what do you call them? Deerstalker with big, she'll look cute in, but she'll be warm, because Mongolia gets very cold. So we're just talking to the lady, and we start witnessing to her about the church. She knew somebody from, her daughter goes to Bishop Fox, where actually she knows the girl that you guys have ministered to through, you guys, the team, through Fly, our youth ministry, whose mum committed suicide before Christmas. So I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, I'm crying, thinking about this girl. My eyes filled up. How is she? How's she doing? So, you know, even though it's my day off, and she looked at me and she said, and this was unusual from somebody who's not saved, it's really hard for you to switch off, isn't it? And it really is. And then we went into a kind of health shop. It's the only place you can get curry leaves. And what I like, we like cooking curry. It's a good thing to do on our day off, because it's actually an enjoyment. Because if it's not your work, it's actually an enjoyment to cook on your day off. I like doing that. So we got some curry leaves from this shop, and Wendy was in there. And she asked a question that got me thinking. Oh, I didn't reply to that guy who asked me to go out and minister in Portugal. Oh, my God. And then I went, zzz, what am I doing? I started to work. And I have to really say, no, I'm not going there. I must rest. Hello? I mustn't carry everybody with me into my day off. And everybody else's burdens, come on in. Let's have a day's rest. Which is why you're to cast all your cares onto Jesus, so that on your day's rest you haven't got a care. Because you can't rest with cares on your shoulder, can you? This is good. Now, in the Hebrew of Exodus 31, the Word of God says that God rested. He abstained from work and he rested, and he was refreshed. And that word in the Hebrew means to breathe. He took a breath in. For 6 days, he was speaking creation into being. On the seventh, he was refreshed and went. So in other words, he expended himself the 6 days. On the seventh, he took in. Is that good? For me, it really helps. That's why the message is called Breathe for a Day. Have you ever heard the phrase, I need to catch my breath? Maybe its origins are in the Sabbath. Because we need a day to breathe. Tell somebody next to you, you need a day to breathe. You see, I believe God is serious. I believe God is serious about this. We are going to advance the kingdom. We're going to work hard for Jesus. Aren't we? We're going to serve the Lord. Aren't we? Seeking first the kingdom, aren't we? Advancing the kingdom, aren't we, church? Going to do the will of God in this generation. And we're also going to have a day a week to breathe. Because if we don't, everything will break down. And actually, I'd like to be preaching to you when you're old and grey. And some of you are a little bit more greyer. And a little bit more older. And me too. I don't want to leave early. And attached to the command is the seriousness of, if anybody did go to work on the seventh day, they would die. There's a guy who actually didn't listen to the command, went out to pick up sticks. So obviously he was getting fuel for the fire for his wife to cook a meal. So work to the Lord. And this guy died. Now we're under grace, thank God, because I have noticed those who work on the Sabbath and don't actually have a rest aren't dead. Thank God for Jesus. But I think if we don't listen, we can put ourselves into an early death. If I ask anybody the question, would you like to die early? I actually don't think anybody in this room would say, yep, I am. I'm going to die early, so I'll just make sure I work 7 days a week and be proud of it. Because some people attached to that is a pride. That you're actually indispensable. I have to learn, actually, God can well look after you without me. My day off. Anyway, the Lord is your shepherd, not me. He's your primary shepherd. We need leadership in life. That's why God gives you the church. He gives you each other for counsel. And he gives you us. We need each other. But actually, you need the Lord more. And he's there with you always. He never leaves you or forsakes you. There are consequences if we don't take a day off. Consequences on our health. Some people say, how do you do that? Well, you've got to take control of your time, of your phone, of your emails. You've got to make sure this obsession with wondering if somebody needs me is shut out. Anybody enjoying this message? Take control of your time. Some people would ask me, what do you do? Well, you've heard I go and find curry leaves and, you know, walk through the snow. I think if we're to be honest about it, the best question is, what don't I do? Not what do I do? Turn it round to say, what do I not do? Anything associated with your job. If you're an electrician, you don't go and mend somebody else's electrics on your Sabbath. Yes? If you're a housewife, what do you not do? Housework. I think this message would better go out a bit further than us today, do you? Because I believe it's the liberty and the freedom that needs to come and the health and blessing on people's homes and kids. What do kids not do? Anything associated with work. Now, serving the Lord is not work on a Sunday. Playing your part in the body of Christ. Each part does its share. It becomes overwork when each part isn't helping. When all we have are people that come and just arrive and leave. But when everybody does their share with the tea, coffee, doors, worship, sound, people get involved with serving and giving and offerings and everything that makes today happen. And you're amazing, you guys. I honor you. I thank God. And all of you who do things during the week that are unseen, the things that happen and take place. But if each part does its share, it's easy Sundays. Okay? But it's anything. What you mustn't do is anything that is your W-O-R-K, so that you can R-E-S-T, rest. Yes, simple. I know it's simples, but that's it. Biblically, also in the Bible, the Lord ordained it, it's in 2 Chronicles, he ordained it that the land had a rest every 7 years. He said the land must rest. And actually, after 6 years, if they obeyed the seventh year, rested that land, the productivity of that land would go right up. What does that mean? It means that even the land produces more with rest, because God has ordained it. It is scientifically proven. Listen up, any farmers, horticulturalists. Scientifically proven that resting land after 6 years equals more productivity. There's something in the 6th year and the 7th year rest. Because it's supernatural, it's under the law of heaven. Because God's word doesn't return empty, but it accomplishes everything it's been sent to do. So in other words, even the land is blessed with rest. So this is a blessing principle for your life, for your family, for your future, for your health, for your marriage, even for the land that you work. That everything gets blessed because it's coming under the will of God for your life. In Mark 2:27, Jesus said, when the legalistic people that had come always to criticize everything that he did, and I might get criticism for saying that we need a Sabbath, yet the religious speak that says, well, every day is a Sabbath in Jesus. Well, yes, but you've got to work. Yes, you need to work for 6 days. You need to think biblically. Just as Pastor Andrea said at the beginning, you need to be biblical in your thinking, so that you can come into the blessing. And Jesus actually said to these people, you don't understand, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was made for you. It's holy, it's to be set apart, and it's a sign so that when people, your neighbors, see you coming to worship on the Sabbath rest day, they're going, their church goes, they're Christians. It's a sign to this generation. And you know what? We actually are more blessed when we rest. There is no provision for those who go out on the seventh day. No provision. They go out to gather. Remember, there was nothing there. And I think it's sometimes important as families, and depending on your career choice, what you do and how you work, that you sit together and you talk and say, okay, when's our Sabbath day? How is it going to work for us as a family? When's it going to, if you're a single person, how will it work for me? Or for the people that I live with? Or for the way that I do my working week? Because the Lord will bless the Sabbath rest. And he has ordained it to be holy. It's to be different to every other day. And different is rest. Can you believe a pastor's telling you to be different and rest? Because we're going to advance the kingdom. There is a purpose in it for blessing for you and your family, your relationships. Your businesses will be more productive. Your working life, you will actually be better off with rest. Now, Jesus also said if there's an emergency in your work on the Sabbath day, so if an animal falls into a pit, then you should pull him out. So, for example, imagine you've got a business and it's on fire and you stand there going, I'm Sabbath. I've got a rest day. And I'm calling this my breathe day, by the way. Because I like it. Because it makes me think. So I'm calling my Sabbath day breathe. That's why I call this message. But imagine, breathe. It's burning down. My business is burning down. My property is burning down. Everything's burning down. Breathe. Breathe. Jesus says, if there's an emergency, get in and sort it. So it's the principle. It's not legalistic. And we mustn't go around telling people. In fact, I had a late appointment at my hairdresser's yesterday. Can't you tell that it was a late appointment? No. And I was telling her, because I said, how's your new year? Oh, I said, I love New Year's. It's a start. It's a new beginning. We can look into the year with hope. We can say, because she knows what I do. And she's always cutting my hair going, oh, why are you always so happy? And I'm so miserable. I said, you need to get saved. It makes you happy. Jesus makes you happy. Amen. And gives you hope. Gives you kind of an ability to look into the future with good view. With a good view. I said, I'm really excited about this year. It's going to be a cracking year. She said, oh, well, I don't like to make resolutions just in case they go wrong. Well, I say, I've got God and he never goes wrong. So my year won't go wrong. He is good and everything he does is good. And then I said, oh, and I tell you what, I've got a new resolution in my life and it's true. And we've had to sit and talk and apply it to our lives as a pastoral leadership team. Because we haven't been taking a Sabbath. We've been taking bits and pieces. But we haven't had a day as set out in the calendar to rest. I know some pastors, after a certain amount of years, they say, take a sabbatical, go on. And the church grows more than when the pastor's there. But because it's more blessed to do the will of God. And sometimes, you know, we need to take care of each other and say, hey, come on. Come on, let's look after each other and say, the Lord says this. And so we've had to sit down. And we've had to really rethink of how this couple can get a day together. Because it's right to build marriages. Amen. And honor the Lord. And to really start to see, okay, let's make sure everybody's getting a rest. Amen. And so I will not have my phone on a Friday. Amen. And what won't you do? Thank you, darling. She won't phone me. Praise the Lord. Well, I know you guys, leaders out there, have access, but it's not the way it should be. And also for your faith group leaders, I think, you know, because we don't get all the calls, praise the Lord, otherwise that would be it. Cheerio, I'd probably have left early. Because my job is the word and prayer, not phone calls. Got to rethink biblically how we're to function, what the call is. But I know as faith group leaders, I think you should find out if you're in their faith group, when's your day off? When's your Sabbath? If it's Sunday and you're not working, just be aware there are times where you don't call. I mean, we need to have access to somebody if we need to talk, but mostly it's because we need to pray to God ourselves. How many of you know that's quite effective? It's better than a phone call to a friend often. Talk to Jesus. So, take a day off. Every week. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.